I want to share a quick, very microwave message this morning. And now I understand why I struggled with the Holy Spirit all day yesterday. I have three full messages written out. They are really good. And God wouldn't let me settle on anything until this morning, and it makes our team kind of crazy because Tim came in this morning. He's like, "Hey, what are you preaching on?" I was like, "I don't know." And he was like, "The Bible, Jesus, can you give me anything?" Yes. How many of you have been in this time in your life, you feel like you're in a bit of a fight? Or is that just me? Anybody? Maybe you're fighting for something. Maybe you're fighting against something. Maybe you're fighting for validation. Maybe you're fighting for affirmation. Maybe you're fighting for sanity. Maybe you're fighting for your marriage. Maybe you're fighting for your kids. Maybe you're fighting for something. Or there's times where we're fighting against a disease. I'm fighting against cancer. I'm fighting against an addiction in my life. I'm fighting against anger. I'm fighting against something in my life. How many of you have been in both places? Where are the fighters in the room today? I got y'all all in a sweet presence of the Lord, and then I'm like, where are the fighters? It's time for us to stand up and learn how to fight. Now, I'm a bit of a fighter by nature. I'm a door slammer. I'm a yeller. I'm one of those kind of people. I know you would never think that when you see me up here so sweet and kind. God's worked on me. I don't think I've slammed any doors recently. That's good. But we've been talking in this vein about being healthy and being spiritually healthy and emotionally healthy and healthy in our relationships and healthy in all these things. And I feel like I've been on the super highway treadmill at incline 15 at 8.0. And I'm like, Lord, at what point haven't I sweated enough of the junk out? Haven't I done enough? And God's like, no, you're just now conditioned for the fight. And I was like, what? I thought we'd been in a fight. He said, no, you've just been fighting yourself. You've been fighting your own nature. You've been fighting your own stuff that wouldn't allow you to get healthy. But now that you've made your decision to keep on the treadmill and keep going and get yourself healthy and get rid of the junk and do all the stuff, now you're ready. Whoever saw Rocky? Any Rocky fan? Yes. How many of you have never heard of Rocky? No, don't raise your hand. That would just hurt my feelings. How many of you know it was all the work leading up to one moment? It was all the blood, sweat, and tears leading up to one moment that it was do or die. In that movies, every time it was another do or die. Like it was always, it just kept building. It was awesome. But I believe that we have to recognize that we are, God is getting us to a healthy place because we got to be ready for what is about to come. In the spirit, you're not allowed to turn around and slug your spouse at this moment. In the spirit, everybody. So I want to share a quick story. This has been about maybe 2 years ago. Before I went through my cancer bout, I was working towards being able to do like a half marathon, and I was doing pretty good with 5Ks. And so in the that was about my speed. So in the time that I was doing that, I would go for a walk run, and I was building my endurance up to be able to run further and faster each day, right? A little bit more. You know, they have these great apps now. It's like run 2 minutes, walk 2 minutes, run 2.5 minutes, walk 2.5 minutes. I didn't have that app at the time. So I was creating my own agenda. So I would go for a walk run near my neighborhood. And I went out onto, we live off of Bayou Boulevard. And so I was going down Bayou Boulevard, down a hill. And there was a house actually it was on the right-hand side, and it had all this brush and all this stuff grown up everywhere. Like you couldn't even see the house for all of the trees and brush. I mean, it looked like the Amazon right in front of the Amazon jungle, like in front of this house. And I dreaded always going by that house because it just was, there was trash in the yard. There was just stuff grown up everywhere. And I would, there's a sidewalk I'm running on, but I would always run to this side of the sidewalk when I was going down that side. But I always went by myself. I had headphones in and usually listening to worship or a message or something. And so I'm just running along, not hearing anything. And all of a sudden, as I'm running, on the side of that big brush, hunkered down like this in a black hoodie with a hoodie over his head was this guy. Now, this is like broad daylight. And so he's like hunkered down and he's looking at me. And he scared the daylights out of me, y'all. Because I'm like running and I'm just having my moment. And all of a sudden, here's this definitely shady looking dude, right? All bundled up in his black hoodie. And he's sitting there and I know that he's up to no good, whatever's happening. Why in the world at 10 o'clock in the morning, he would be hiding behind this bush? And when he saw me, I scared him and he scared me. Because I'm pretty sure he was waiting for something else or someone else. I'm not saying he was planning to jump somebody. I really don't know what. I don't know if it was drug related. I don't know what. But there was something because inside of me, I immediately had this trauma response inside of me. My heart started beating 90 to nothing. I mean, when I saw him, he looked at me, he jumped up, he jumped over the fence, and all I could think of was, I gotta go a different way home. How do I get home? Where is my phone? Where is my SOS button? Where is all the things in case something happens to me? And this trauma hit me, and I just began to shake, and I began to be overwhelmed with fear out of nowhere. Has anybody ever had an experience like that? So when trauma comes in your life, any sort of trauma, even if it's perceived trauma, like you walk in the house and the coat rack looks like a person standing in the corner and you think someone's in your house, but it's really the coat rack that's been there for 20 years. But it's still, your heart starts beating. It's this perceived trauma. And so in our physiological way that God created us, There is a response that happens in a moment like that. And it's called fight or flight. So in that moment, inside of me, I had to make a decision. Am I going to fight for self-preservation? Can I take this guy? Have I been working out enough? Do I have enough adrenaline? If something happened, could I fight him off? Could I handle myself? I'm going to stick right here, and I'm going to take him. Or am I going to have the flight syndrome, which means am I going to run as fast as I can to safety and get away as quick as I can to protect myself? So we tend to respond in one of those two ways. Shout, fight or flight. And if I could call this short message something, that's what I'm going to call it today. Fight or flight. And when the enemy comes up in your territory, when the enemy starts messing with your world, your mind, we talked about 2 weeks ago, your heart, your relationships, your job, your money, your situation, your kids, whatever it is, and he starts messing in your world, we have this fight or flight syndrome response that we do in the spirit. And I feel like there have been some runners in this room. I feel like there's been some runners in this room. What does that mean? That means when you get hit with it, you, whoop, I'm out. What does that mean? I'm not talking about from your relationship, but I'm talking about inside. You throw your hands up, you give up, you think, I can't take it, I can't deal with the enemy in my life, I can't fix my relationship, I can't do all this. You're right, you can't, but God can. And I want to push you today in the spirit to fight for what God said in your life. To fight for it. To fight for it. In the same way that if something was happening to my child, I would fight. You hear me? I would fight for it. But yet the things that God said over us, we're just like, oh, the enemy, he's just too strong. I can't take anymore. Last time I checked, the word says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. That means that God is greater than the enemy. So why do I need to run? Why am I running from somebody who has no power over me? Unless I've forgotten to wield my sword of the Spirit and I've forgotten to stand up in the authority of who Jesus is on the inside of me, no wonder I want to run because I'm doing it in my own strength. I want to push you today to a place to fight. God wants us to be at a place where we are strong from the inside out. Do you see this little thing right here? Everybody knows what this is, right? I love it when I go in a place and I don't have my charger, and inevitably somebody in that place has a charger. It's so awesome. And you're totally fine to go up and say, "Could I just use your charger?" Do you know why? Because all these devices that we carry around need power. And they can do a lot. This little device right here can do so many things. We are very dependent on these little devices. I was trying to explain to Sophia when I was younger about how I didn't have a phone to call my parents. And then I told her, I was showing her a camera that we had from a long time ago. And she's like, "Well, where's the screen to see the picture?" I'm like, "Baby, there's no screen. You have to take the film and get it developed." "What's film?" I'm like, "Oh." We're very dependent on these babies. Everybody in this room, I bet everybody in this room has one of these right now. Maybe not an iPhone. Maybe you do. Maybe you have Google. Maybe you're a Google person. We could have a little contest. No, I'm just kidding. But here's the thing. With all the amazing things this thing can do, if it doesn't have any power in it, then it is nothing more but a paperweight. On my nightstand, on my kitchen counter, wherever it is. And I have to plug it in to give it power. And it's amazing to me that we can plug in that phone and it will have hours and hours and hours of power to do what it needs to do. Well, unless you have one of those phones that you're like, "I need to get a new phone because my battery is dying like every 30 minutes. That's a whole nother message. But I want to challenge you today, where your strength comes from matters on the outcome of your fight. And I think so many times we are plugging in. So last night, I had been sitting in a chair most of the day working on my message, spending some time in prayer. I had my phone plugged in and I had my computer plugged in to a little hub type charger thing we have by our couch. And so it was getting later in the evening, and I looked down, and my phone was on 5%. And my computer was on about 8%. And I'm like, I've had these plugged in all day. I have sat here like a good girl and kept them plugged in so they wouldn't die, so I wouldn't have any of that. And guess what I realized? The little hub thing is broken. It wasn't charging anything. It was plugged in, but there was no power in it. And we have to understand, if you're going to stand up and you're going to rise up and be at a place and you're going to be ready to fight, you got to plug yourself in to what's working. Well, I get my strength from my relationships. I get my strength from how they treat me and what they say and how much affirmation I get and from acceptance and from belonging and from all these things. None of those give you power inside. They make you feel good on the outside. But they don't actually give you the power and the authority that you need for the fight with the enemy. And when I spoke last time and when I'm speaking today, I'm trying to give you some practical tools and some equipping for you to know how to fight against the enemy and not get sucked into his ways. Well, I know the word of God. I know that. Well, great. We need to start acting like it. And we need to start not just saying, I know the word, but the word of God is in me. I can quote a lot of scriptures. That doesn't mean I apply them or I use them or I actually know what they mean. And sometimes it's more valuable for you to take one scripture and rehearse it over and over and over and over until it gets in you. And God says, this is what I'm doing in you and this is what I'm applying in your life. Instead of reading five chapters and you don't even know what you read, but you did your holy obligation. That's plugging in to something that there's no life in it. Now, is there life in the Word of God? Yes. Even God can get through your busy life and still get to you. But I'm asking you to shift and change what you're plugging into, because right now we need to be strong followers of Christ. We need to be strong followers of Christ, not strong followers of people and politicians and big name people that we listen to and think they know more than the Bible. It's a season for us to plug in and fill ourselves with the strength of God. Look with me in 2 Corinthians 12. Oh yeah, I'm just pouring sweat. Like I'm working out today. This is awesome. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9 and 10. Paul is talking and you can read the scripture before, but this is how God answered. He said, but he answered me, my grace is always more than enough for you. And my power finds its full expression through your weakness. When I am empty, he is strong. God loves empty because then he can fill you with the right things. So I will celebrate my weaknesses. For when I'm weak, I sense more deeply the mighty power of Christ living in me. So I'm not defeated by my weakness. Did you hear that? I'm not defeated by my weakness. On the contrary, but delighted. For when I feel my weakness and I endure mistreatment, when I am surrounded with troubles on every side and I face persecution because of my love for Christ, I am made yet stronger. For my weakness becomes a portal to God's power. So what's the power portal that you need to work? When you get rid of you. When you realize I can't fix them, I can't do it, I can't say enough, fight enough, post enough, do enough. I'm going to turn off the power source that isn't working in my life, and I'm going to plug myself in and find every empty, weak place in me and say, God, come on and fill it. Because if you're in it, then I'm going to win. How many of you want to win a fight? I don't get in fights. I can't win. I already know if it's going the wrong direction, because I just decide inside myself, I'm already right, and you're not worth my time because I'm really not going to win this with you. I've already won inside, so you can, it's not always the healthiest way to do a fight. But the thing is this, we want to fight to win. We want to fight to win something. And we've been talking about Gideon, and I'm about to wrap up. We've been talking about Gideon in Judges 6 and 7, and you need to go read both those scriptures, because if there was anybody who was the weakest of them all, the weakest clan, the weakest, hiding in a wine press, hiding from the Midianites, scared to death of everybody and everything, and God said, you're it. Where did he get his power from? He had to follow the weirdest, strangest, most doesn't make sense instructions from God. And God even let Gideon negotiate with him. That may be what I love most about Gideon. Because Gideon was like, you know, the angel came and said, you're a mighty warrior. And then God had to get in his face directly and say, dude, you're a mighty warrior. You're not listening to me. I'm with you. And Gideon is still like, all right, God, well, if you're really with me, then I'm going to put this fleece out, and I want you in the morning for the fleece to be completely wet and the floor to be completely dry. And God agreed with him. He's like, all right, I'll do it for you, man. Really? If I asked God to do that, he'd be like, no, you're not. Bow up, listen to me. And then Gideon did it a second time, as if God didn't prove himself once. He said to him in Judges 6, he said, God, will you just indulge me one more time? And tomorrow morning, I'm going to put the fleece out. This time, I want the fleece to be completely dry, and I want the floor to be wet. It's like a little game. He was playing with God, and God was in it. He's like, I'll play the game. You know why? Because he saw something in Gideon, and he's like, if I can get it through you that you're not this weak, empty person, and I'm about to fill up every weak place, and you're about to win one of the most famous battles that was ever won in the Bible. So even after God did both of those things, he still was like, well, God. And finally he put out some bread and something to drink. I don't know what he had on the rock. And an angel had to come and literally set it on fire in front of him, for him to get it. And finally, after that, he was like, oh, so you're like for real, God. We're going to do this. Like, he almost had to be set on fire. And at that point, the first thing he did in Judges chapter 6, let's look at verse 25. So he finally agrees. Actually, this happened after, but look in 6:25. That same night, the Lord said to him, take the second bull from your father's herd, the one 7 years old, tear down your father's altar to Baal, cut down the Asherah pole beside it, then build a proper kind of altar to the Lord your God on top of this height, using the wood from the Asherah pole that you cut down, and offer the second bull as a burnt offering. So Gideon took 10 of his servants and did as the Lord told him. But because he was afraid of his family and the townspeople, he was what? We're so afraid of people. Help me, Jesus. He did it at night rather than in the daytime. And in the morning, when the people of town got up, there was Baal's altar demolished with the Asherah pole beside it cut down and the second bull sacrificed on the newly built altar. And they asked each other, who did this? And when they carefully investigated, they were told, Gideon, son of Joash, did it. Now, let me stop there for a second. There was only 10 guys that could have told on Gideon. It says he took 10 servants from his house, 10 of his favorite buddies with him, at night so nobody would see, swore them to secrecy, and said, we're going to go tear down this altar and nobody needs to know because we're doing it in secret. Even though God said to do it, I'm still scared. So you 10 come with me and we're going to go do this. When God is sending you to start tearing down stuff, idols in your life, you need to be careful who you surround yourself with. Even Jesus had a Judas. You need to understand. I gave this example the other day, and I really am going to wrap up, y'all. We were having a meeting with our creative team this week. And we were talking about the value of certain moments. And let me tell you something. When you're going to deal with something hard in your life, be careful who's speaking into it. They could talk you out of it. Their voice could become louder than God's voice. They could ultimately betray you. They could bring the idol back. All sorts of crazy can happen. So you have to be discerning and you have to purify your heart to a place that you recognize who you're surrounding yourself with. It's very easy if they have the fruit of the Spirit in their life. Great. If they don't be around them. Now, we love them, but you may not want to pull them to your closest, hardest idol you're going to tear down. But we were talking in our creative team about that. And I was thinking, I was looking at Jessica Pakoda, who was in there. She just recently had a baby. And I said, you know, you have to be careful who you let in your birthing room. See, that act that Gideon did, that was the beginning point of his ministry and what was going to happen in his life. That was the first thing he did that God gave him instructions to do. That was the very beginning. And let me tell you something. If you've ever had a baby, just wave your hand at me if you've had a baby. There are only certain people, ladies, that you're going to allow in the birthing room with you. It's people you trust. That no matter what you do, no matter what flies out of your mouth, no matter what happens in that moment, they love you and they trust you and they've got your back in that room. Can I get an amen? And the people that are in there are people that you know can see the good, the bad, and the ugly. No matter how horrible, how scary, how anything it gets in that birthing room, because you're birthing an actual life and a destiny. And I'm just telling you, be careful who you allow in your birthing room. When God is doing something in your life and he's giving you instructions and he's saying, hey, tear down this idol in your life. What's an idol? Anything that's greater than him. Anything. I love my husband. He is the most important person in my life, but he is not more important than God in my life. The church is not more important than God in my life. He is first place. So anything that I make bigger, greater, more valuable to me than God, then that's an idol. And these people that have been given the promised land, we just sang about the promised land this morning in that song. These people have been given the promised land. Back in Joshua chapter 6, he said, everywhere your foot steps belongs to you. And here they are in the land that God gave them, and they're worshiping a Canaanite Baal idol. How quickly we forget the Lord in our circumstances. How quickly we leave him out of the situation because he seems too far away or he didn't answer it the way I wanted last time. I think I can handle it better on my own. You're plugging in to the wrong thing. You're getting your strength from the wrong place. Listen, I had like 4 points. They were really good, but I'm not even giving them. We're going to stop here because This is a season, this is a time that we've got to be plugged in and we've got to empty ourselves out of everything that's not like him. Everything. Everything. Wow, Angela, this is a really intense Sunday morning message. Yes, it is. Our whole world is intense. Seriously, you guys are way more intense than this. But we try to excuse away things. We try to lean on the wrong things. We try to go internally and try to rely on things that God never put in us. And I'm a very strong person. I'm a very strong personality. And I like to win. And that's, again, one of the reasons I love Gideon, because he won. In the most unlikely circumstances, he won. So guess what? I'm going to study a guy who was really weak and didn't think anybody would ever notice him or he would ever become anything, and he won. So we're going to learn to fight and not flight. We're going to learn when the enemy comes that we can say, oh, no, 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 no. That part of me I already emptied out. That's not a problem for me anymore. God is filling that place back up. I've surrounded myself with people who are speaking life and the word of God and his nature into my life. How much could we change the world and the little places where we do life just by learning to fight the enemy before we ever step in? And then every place your feet take you, every step, guess who has to take a step? You and me. Some things you have to reach for. Some things you have to take an action step for. Some things you have to be the one who steps out. We're always standing here waiting like, God, come on. Come on, God, come do it for me. God, come do it for me. God, come on, a little closer. You're not quite there yet, Lord. You haven't done it my way yet. You haven't done enough for me. You haven't fixed him yet. You haven't fixed her yet. You haven't fixed this yet. You haven't given me the promotion yet. You know I feel sad. You know I feel beat down. You know I don't feel good enough. You know I don't da-da-da-da-da-da-da. God, keep coming my way. And God's like, I'm right here. I need you to take a step out of where you are. And I'm not up here telling you something I don't live. Because when Tim and I were asked to step into this role, my initial response was, run! Oh, but you have all the words. You were going to be a pastor over your life. Huh. Run! I mean, you know, I want to tell you, those of you sitting in this room, because I've been praying over you every day, that you're worth fighting for as a leader. You're worth fighting for. Me, little me, yes, you. But you don't know my mess. I don't care. God doesn't care. Some things are worth fighting for. And I just believe God's going to equip us like never before to fight the good fight, to finish the race. Ecclesiastes says the ending of a thing is better than the beginning of a thing. You just have to stick it out. We're going to fight the good fight. We're going to push you. Tim and I are going to push you to fight the good fight for your life. To beat depression. To beat the division in your marriage. To beat that disease, that thing that the doctor looked at you and said that we can't do anything about. To beat that addiction. We're going to push you to fight the good fight. Because it's the only way you can win is if you fight. I say all the time, if you don't win, I actually learned this at a conference we went to, but if you don't win, if you're second place, you're just the first loser, so I'm going to win. I was always the last one picked, by the way, in any sort of sports. It was, do we have to have Angela on our team? So I'd be like, I'm good. I just don't need to play. Thanks, babe. Tim will take me on his team. Thank God. As long as we're not actually playing any sports or anything, he'll take me on his team. Listen, the enemy is real, but God is greater. And we're going to win a fight. You're going to win a fight. Come on, just stand up to your feet. I just asked them to do a song, and Will's like, that's what we're doing. Like, we don't know how to flow in the Spirit up here. How many of you know we may be surrounded by a lot of other stuff that may look like, but I'm telling you right now, you're surrounded by the presence of God in your life. I'm declaring that over you. I'm going to ask everybody to come up front. Spread yourselves out as much as possible after the COVID talk from Tim. Just spread yourselves up. But I want everybody to come up front. Why? Because we're in a fight, and sometimes you need to be in a fight with other people together. Because I believe in this moment, the Spirit of God is about to drop a fighter back inside of some of you. And I'm not going to give you the chance to say, should I go up? Should I not go up? Does God want me to be a fighter? Yes. Yes. Because he wants you to win the battle that you've been fighting. He wants you to win. He wants you to win it. And every single strategy you need, he already has. And we're going to win. We're going to win. Shout, I'm going to win. I can't believe I'm doing like a sports pep talk message. It's so not like me. But we're going to win. I feel like putting everybody's hands in and saying, one, two, three, shout something. We're going to win. You're going to win the battle. Some of you have been believing for things, and all of a sudden, I'm telling you, things are going to start shifting. All of a sudden, the test is going to be positive or the test is going to be negative. Whatever it is you're facing, all of a sudden there's going to be reconciliation with your kids. There's going to be a restoration in your marriage. This is for somebody. You're going to beat the feeling of being alone. I come against that thing right now. You're not alone. You're not alone. He is with you. And God sets the solitary in families. And this is a family. He loves us and he wants us to win. He wants us to win. Come on, just say, I'm going to win. I'm going to win. I'm going to win. I'm going to win this thing. I'm not going to do it perfect. Gideon didn't do it perfect, but he won. What are the idols we got to tear down today? What's in the way? What's the obstacle? What are you surrounded with? What have you been looking at that isn't from God? You've got to realign yourself to what he's put around you. Come on, I'm going to pray over you, and then we're going to declare this praise today. God, I just pray over every person in the sound of my voice today. Online, whoever's watching, God, whoever's in the room, today, God, I declare over every person, God, that we are going to fight and we're going to win. God, I declare that there's a fighter on the inside of every person in this room because you're on the inside. And I take authority over the enemy that's been trying to torment and come against and shake the people in this room. Your assignment is canceled today in the Spirit. I arrest you in the Spirit today, devil. You can no longer come in and continue because you don't win. I know the end of the story, and you won't win. So we declare right now, God, we are winners. We are fighters. God, that you are with us, that we trust in you, God. And we tear down today everything that's in the way. We tear down every obstacle. We tear down every idol. God, whatever it is for you, I dare you to even say it out. God, I'm getting rid of this. God, I'm changing this. God, I'm tearing this down right now. I'm not going to engage with this anymore, God. I'm going to purify my life. I'm going to get strong. I'm going to plug in, God, to your power portal. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. God, we declare it. God, we declare it. God, we are surrounded by you. We are surrounded by you, God. Woo! Come on, I just dare you to attach your faith. Come on, go ahead and sing that. Come on, we're going to declare this in your praise. There's power in your praise.
This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles.
Come on, just shout it out today, church. I dare you.
This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
Woo!
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
We surround ourselves with you,
Lord.
This week, some of you are going to fight like you've never fought before in the spirit, and you're going to win. You're going to win. You're going to win.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded.
In your spirit. I'm just telling you right now, be a fighter this week. I hope you have a picture of Rocky in your head. I hope you get some picture that God gives you to remind you what's on the inside of you. And I dare you to fight with your praise, fight with the word of God, fight with the people around you that are going to speak life into you. Reposture yourself. And get ready to win. 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 Get ready to win.